Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Getting this set up. My name is Jeff Beidle. I'm here with my wife Rhonda and our granddaughter Audrey. We see a lot of new faces here. Some new and some not so new. How many is this your first time to Seasons of Our Joy? First time here? Okay. It's great. How many times this is your first Sukkot? Any first-timers? Hey, all right. There you go. Good. Okay. Well, our first Sukkot brings a lot of really wonderful memories. We were at a Coffee Mill Lake in North Texas, very small lake, and had this little campsite area, had about 15 campsites, one way in, one way out, and we filled up that little campsite. What was beautiful about it is it was surrounded by water on three sides. I think lakes are so awesome to have around a camp feast site and campsites. I've always appreciated Tim picking those sites that have that. But in the evenings, we'd come together after dinner, and it sloped off to the lake, and there was an old Corps of Engineers cabin there that the cabin had burned down. All that was left was the big stone chimney fireplace. And so we'd set up our chairs around there. And it's beautiful St. Augustine grass around that that went all the way down to the lake. And so the kids were playing, and we were had two or three guitars. My daughter brought her violin, and she kind of climbed up on the side of that fireplace playing her violin while they were playing the guitars, playing just some beautiful music and dancing. And I looked up over to the east, and I saw that full moon coming up, just like we have here, isn't it? And I just thought, how beautiful and how neat that was to see, and the Father looking down upon his children. He'd probably nudge the angels and go, look at that, look at that. They're doing it, they're doing it. And it was just such fun, wonderful memories. And so we look forward to Sukkot every year. It's just so much fun. But before I get started, we're going to do a little video. Jonathan's going to help me out with that.
Then Adonai said,
every time I see that, that stirs me. I'm just amazed at that. Let me get my notes back up here. Hey, Jonathan. Jonathan to the rescue. The next slide. But what about notes? Okay. Oh, no, no, no. Okay. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay. And Israel yet to come. There was numerous prophecies in that little video, wasn't there? The text in what I'm speaking about this morning is drawn from the book Who is Israel by Batya Ruth Wooten. In Matthew 15:24, Yeshua said to the Canaanite woman, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Matthew 10:5-6, Yeshua instructed his disciples, saying, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then we have, in that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places. I will build it as it used to be. So we see that Yeshua instructed them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And there is a difference. And David's kingdom will be restored and united once again. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Long ago, the Father divided Israel into two houses, Ephraim, which is Israel, and Judah. As his two witnesses, he sent them in different directions to serve two purposes, to establish his immutable truths of law and grace. Now, in these last days, he would have them come together and confirm his truth in the earth. Just as King David ruled over all Israel, so too will Messiah Yeshua one day be king over all Israel. This morning, we are going to look at an Israel yet to come. A trembling Ephraim will be gathered. And where did these all come from? And there are two sticks. There will be an invincible army and a day of holiness. There will be a collision course. And finally, the answer to the question. At that time, declares Yahweh, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. And Israel yet to come. The sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go weeping along as they go, and it will be Yahweh their God that they seek. They will ask for the way to Zion. Turning their faces in its direction, they will come that they may join themselves to Yahweh. Here we go. When Yahweh fully reunites both houses of Israel, they will reach out to one another in humility. Then the house of Judah will again walk with the house of Israel. And in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations will grab hold of the cloak of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 to 1 was the numbers the Father used when he gave Jeroboam 10 tribes of Israel. Ephraim outnumbered Judah 10 to 1. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. In that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. Then it will happen on that day that Yahweh will begin to recover a second time with his hand the remnant of his people. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and will assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. While Ephraim grabbed hold of the garment, the tzitzit, the fringe of the Lion of Judah, which is Yeshua, they will also grab hold of their brother Judah, and the two houses of Israel will join forces. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, Our Father will gather Judah and Israel. Formally divided, brothers will begin to honor one another and to collectively honor the godly things each has accomplished in the earth, in and through the anointing of Yahweh. We have already begun to see the miracle of the regathering of Judah. But we have not seen the fulfillment of Yahweh's glorious plan to gather the scattered Ephraim. And gather them he will. For the Father says, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? All my compassions are kindled. I will not destroy Ephraim again. They will walk after Yahweh. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar. And his sons will come trembling from the west. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastened me, and I was chastened like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are Yahweh my God. Surely after my turning I repented, and after I was instructed I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth." It's not like anything we see today, is it? But it is coming. That change will come. We will repent. We will return. While scattered, Ephraim will be instructed and thus begin to see the glorious truth about his heritage. He will also begin to see the many ways in which he has offended his God through his past actions. This will cause him to tremble and fear and hasten to correct his mistakes. Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the Gentiles like a vessel in which there is no pleasure. I've had numerous conversations with other believers, and they want none of this. A couple dear friends I have right now, it's just like, it's all about Jesus. They don't want any part of it. And I just weep for them that they would wake up one day and see the glorious riches and the truths that he has for us. Just the wonderful heritage that we have. You know, does the potter not have the power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Made ready to walk in the footsteps of his father Joseph, Ephraim will become a source of protection and provision for his family. Then the father will whistle for him, and he will return to his land. I will whistle for them and gather them, because I have redeemed them. They will be as numerous as they were before. So where did these all come from? Isaiah speaks cryptically of Israel's coming reunion, where he says, "Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For Yahweh has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted." In response, a troubled Judah says, "Yahweh has forsaken me. Adonai has forgotten me." But the father answers Judah's cry, saying, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed in the palms of my hands, your walls are continually before me. Your builders hurry, your destroyers and devastator will depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All of them will gather together. They come to you. As I live, declares Yahweh, you will surely put on all of them as jewels and bind them on as a bride. For your waste and desolate places and your destroyed lands, surely you will be too cramped for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you will be too far away. The children of whom you, Zion, will behave well, yet in your ears, say in your ears, The place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here. Then you will say in your heart, who has forgotten these for me? Since I have been bereaved of my children and am barren, an exile and a wanderer? And who has reared these? Behold, I was left alone. From where did these come? To this the Father says, behold, I will lift up my hands to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on your shoulders. Just like we saw in that video, did you notice the woman carrying her child and they were just all walking together, returning? Ephraim will yet return to his homeland, and he will happily bring those of Judah with him. And now the two sticks. The Father speaks of uniting the two families of Israel. When uniting the two sticks that represented them of that day, the Holy One said to Ezekiel, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them for yourself one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us, what do you mean by these? Say to them, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations. They will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. And they will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. They will all have one shepherd, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. At the foot of his cross, by his Spirit, we learn to become Israel, redeemed, reunited, restored. As worthy servants, let each of us, therefore, take up our cross and follow our Messiah. Let us explain to the world the meaning and call to unity that is found in the finished work of his two sticks. Let us realize that when Ephraim and Judah are reunited in Yahweh Elohim, when their reunion is fully manifested, they will become an invincible army, an army of powerful, prevailing princesses capable of fighting the battles of the God of Israel. The Amplified Bible says, they will come of this coming army. But with united forces, Ephraim and Judah will sweep down upon the shoulders of the Philistines, land sloping toward the west. Together they will strip the people of the east, the Philistines. They will lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey. On that glorious day, Yahweh says, I will bend my bow, Judah as my bow, and I will fill the bow with Ephraim. Then Yahweh will appear over them, and Yahweh will blow his trumpet. Yahweh Zebaot will defend them. He will save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they are as the stones of a crown sparkling in his land. For Yahweh of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like his majestic horse in battle. And they will be as mighty men, treading down the enemy in the mire of the streets in battle. And they will fight, for Yahweh will be with them. As the riders on horses, he will put them to shame. And I shall strengthen the house of Judah, and I shall save the house of Joseph. Ephraim will be like a mighty man, and their heart will be as glad as if from wine. Indeed, their children will see it and be glad. Their heart will rejoice in Yahweh. I will whistle for them to gather them together, for I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before. They will be remembered. They will remember me in four countries, and they will say with their children, will live and will come back. I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them to the land of Gilead, I believe, and Lebanon, until no room can be found for them. The sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together, and their reunion will be glorious, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Great and holy will be the day when the Father fully reunites his chosen people, for he has sworn, all the sinners of my people will die by the sword. And it will come about in that day that it will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophet and the unclean spirit from the land. Isn't that what the church needs today? Be clean, cleansed of all those unclean spirits, the prophets and things that are not of God. That cleansing and that purifying is coming. And I will remove from you, your midst, your proud, exulting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble and loving people, and they will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. So that Temple Mount will be cleansed one day. Those that are occupying it now won't be there anymore. The Father will yet have his way. He will have an obedient, united house of Israel. He will have a house of Israel that loves him, his people, and his Messiah. At this time in history, the collective people of Israel and the eternal kingdom of Israel are on a collision course. Long ago, the Almighty made a promise to our forefather Abraham. That promise essentially included a piece of real estate and the promise to bless and multiply Abraham's seed. Then came Messiah Yeshua. In and through him, Israel received a new and better covenant. The gift of eternal life is promised to all who enter into this covenant and believe in Yeshua and his sacrifice in our behalf. Yeshua was also given the throne of David and promised that his kingdom would be without end. It is a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom that is now and yet to come, and one that must ever be alive in our hearts. Similarly, the chosen city of Jerusalem, the city of gold, the city of the great king, stands naked when separated from the glory of her Messiah. She and her people are destined to be married. To lose sight of this, the gift of eternal life that is promised to all who follow the Messiah of Israel, is to be short-sighted concerning the promise that is made to the chosen people. To lose sight of Jerusalem's full restoration of Messiah is to have a limited view of Israel's promised kingdom. It is to see Israel in part. And don't we see that today? There's so much of it that the truth is missing. It's not there. And what we think we have is, it's not. It's like a computer or a piece of equipment that has all these options, and you're only using two or three of them, and you just don't have a clue. And then someone like Jonathan comes along and shows you how to use something, and it just, oh, God, I had no idea I could do that, you know? Thank you, Jonathan. We must realize that Israelites can be Israelite and fail to see the truth about the restoration of Messiah Yeshua's kingdom. They can also participate in this earthly promises to our patriarchs, and live in the land and be multiplied, yet miss the all-important gift of eternal life found in Messiah. However, obedient Israel is destined to belong to both the king and his eternal kingdom of Israel. And now the answer to the question. One day soon the sky will part. A glorious Messiah, Yeshua, will be revealed, seated on a white horse. The prince who is Yisrael will sit tall in his saddle in that day. Yeshua will be clothed in a robe dripped in blood. He will have written on his thigh a title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will also have in his hand a scepter of two sticks that have been made one in his hand. In that moment, the whole world will behold his glory. He will then nudge his steed to move toward the earth. They have been made ready to return and reign with their king. In that instant, all who are his will be changed. The mortals who love him will instantly become immortal. In the twinkling of the eye, a redeemed people will find themselves seated on white horses. They will have been prepared forever to serve their master. The answer to the question, who is Israel, will finally and forever be answered. May we, by his grace, prove to be part of that answer. May we prove to be part of Yeshua's redeemed people, Israel. When he returns, may he find us working toward that reunification and restoration of his eternal kingdom. Holy One of Israel, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. There we go. Questions, answers? Questions, maybe a few answers? Anyone?